Ladies and gentlemen, this is Jim Barkley and Sam Sayer from MITRE. Thank you.
All right, hi, sorry about the technical difficulties there. I am Jim Barkley, along here with my colleague Sam Sayer, and we work at the MITRE Corporation outside of Boston, which is a not-for-profit systems engineering company. And our background is really a software background, so we're not sure how we got wrapped up in all this open hardware stuff, but it hasn't stopped us from being opinionated about it. So systems engineering really was born out of a need to manage, plan, build, design, test, and maintain large systems whose complexity and risk outgrew the traditional engineering management sort of programs, projects. And so, you know, think nuclear reactors, right? Airplanes. The risk factors on those things, you know, they have critical failure modes. And the complexity also spans a variety of different technology, engineering kinds of domains. And so this is just a classic kind of requirements workflow process used in systems engineering. You can see it goes from input through analysis to a functional analysis and eventually some outputs. Very onerous, very rigorous. This is another one. This is called a systems engineering management plan, or a SEMP. Shows up from time to time, and you can see it goes all the way from concept exploration, system requirements, subsystem requirements, subsystem concept definitions, integration, all kinds of testing, operations and maintenance, all the way out to, you know, how do you replace retiring components. This is from a real DoD program of record. Things have been blurred out to protect the guilty here. But you can see, you know, the lengths people go to try and manage these levels of complexity. And then, of course, everybody's favorite. This is how the government buys and builds new things. And I think originally its intent was to drive down risk in a number of different dimensions. Unfortunately, over the years, process after process has been layered on top of it, and it is now a largely ineffectual artifact of a 50-year engagement with a fixed threat. And this kind of thing isn't unique to the U.S. government. Think of auto manufacturers. Toyota has one bad gas pedal stickage recall in how many decades of good service, and their entire brand promise of quality is at jeopardy. Of course, what we like about open is that if these systems are developed and these processes are closed and proprietary in development, then potential risk areas can go unnoticed. So we're starting to see some of the open source projects reach a pretty interesting level of sophistication in terms of their engineering. So, you know, this isn't an aircraft carrier here, but, DIY drones, Cupcake up there. Here's the Rally Fighter, of course, having parts assembled. Each of these has what we consider minimum qualifying requirements to be treated as a system, right? So, you know, they've got some hardware, some nuts and bolts, and physical unique form factors, electrical components, some software to make those electrical components sort of be better decision makers, and of course a power source. So what we're really talking about here is not open source hardware, but open source systems. And, we see these things as being at different levels of maturity along a whole bunch of different dimensions here. So community, licensing, governance, tools, adoption, et cetera. I'll just start at the left here. Open power supply. I mean, I've never heard of an open source battery. Maybe it's out there. We just haven't heard of it. We're starting to see a lot more physical components through some of the 3D printing and Thingiverse and those kind of things out there. But the tools, the design tools, and also the manufacturing equipment themselves are still in fairly low technology readiness levels. Open source hardware, sensor components. I mean, you can slapdash together a set of boards and sensors to make something unique pretty easily. I mean, it's getting to a level of componentization that's pretty mature. Software, of course, has advanced significantly. And so one of the interesting challenges for open source communities is to figure out how they're going to cross these already difficult barriers of unique engineering and technical domains with these different levels of maturity. But what we're really talking about here Is new methods. So when that starts to happen, are we going to see open source, open communities start to adopt traditional systems engineering methods? I don't think that's very likely. Instead, I think they're going to evolve their own organic brand of systems engineering that has unique characteristics. And so, I mean, everybody's familiar with the waterfall to iterative kind of design change. You know, that's not news. But one thing that's a little more interesting to me is this concept of the kit development. That seems to be a repeating pattern we see in a lot of these whole systems that are being delivered to people. And one of the interesting examples of the uniqueness of this area is that open source systems are delivered, they're designed for assembly. That's not new. A lot of companies have been designing for assembly for a long time. But of course, once it's assembled, taking it apart is very hard. In the open communities, not only does the product need to be designed for assembly, it needs to be designed also for disassembly, for modding, quick upgrades, those kind of things. And there's all kinds of precedent for this in the software world. Of course, in the 90s, we saw a bunch of agile programming methods and software management methods evolve really from open source communities. They were the drivers in response to those larger waterfall methods. And so one of the value propositions of those agile methods has always been that you can start with a low set of functional requirements, and if your project survives, you'll iterate very rapidly along this disruptive innovation curve, and eventually, hopefully, you'll have something that's pretty competitive in the marketplace, maybe the best. So one of the things that stimulates that is innovation. So this is a paraphrase from Democratizing Innovation. We knew Von Hippel was going to be here, so we tried to misquote him. But the point is, user communities are best at innovation because they know what they want. We hear this all the time at MITRE in the software world. And so I think an interesting challenge is going to be, how do we codify and measure innovation as part of a systems engineering process? So these are just some observations we've made on traditional versus open systems engineering. Some of the things that open systems are doing very well. Can't believe it, they laughed at that gimmick. sorry, that's all Sam. Requirements, traditional requirements analysis and gathering, incredibly onerous. They're often very implicit in open community development, and especially there's this good enough requirements mentality. And that allows you to get things done a lot faster, and I'll talk more about that in just a second when I get to safety. Architecture, traditional methods, it's all architected up front, designed, costed, planned, T&E'd. I mean, this stuff gets expensive. And in the open source community, that architecture evolves because you're iterating so rapidly. Process improvement, of course, in these big systems, once you've developed something, you don't want to change it, you don't want to touch it. So the complete opposite paradigm in agile engineering communities, right? Upgrade as often as you can, as soon as you can get new technology out there. And that's incredible. In terms of the things that maybe aren't happening so well at the open level, support, of course, this do-it-yourself methodology is allows you to shift a lot of cost burden, like support, onto the users. But unfortunately, a lot of people are out to lunch when they're looking for answers sometimes. Supply chain management. When you're developing something that's developing so rapidly and it has all of these different physical components, configuration management is a big deal, and it's really hard to do at that level. And I'll use the MakerBot, the cupcake, as an example. Some of the early ones we've had to replace parts, and we get them in, maybe they're not compatible, or the wiki hasn't been updated, and so we're looking at a different part that plugs in here, but it says it's the same part, and so those kind of issues arise. Don't get me wrong, I love me some MakerBot, but that's a real challenge. On the other hand, companies like SparkFun and Adafruit, I mean, their core business is about logistics, and that's how they manage it, and they do a great job. Integration, of course, a lot of times the end user is part of the integration team, which is always interesting. Great for hobbyists, harder when you want to scale. but I'll tell you what, it's not interface control documents. And then some of the things that you might not succeed at no matter how well you're doing them, safety is a great one. Again, here I think the burden of safety is shifted onto the end user community. These things are not government approved. I'm not even sure the rally fighter has airbags and these kinds of things, which is great because you can get stuff out there pretty quickly. But as you expand into a broader consumer market, people are going to want those things. Quality control, repeatability, maintainability, availability, RMA. I can't even build the same ARF, I can't even build the same flying drone kit three times reliably. So those are some of the challenges out there. This is the kind of stuff that turns us on. Over the next 9 months, we're going to be doing some research for the MITRE Corporation on these topics. We decided to document that as an open wiki, and our funding doesn't actually kick in until October, so there's not a whole lot on there right now, just sort of an outline. There's also a dumping ground, so if people have thoughts, comments, somebody wants to see an open source battery, go spew into that tumultuous cavalcade, and we'll go through and integrate that into the thing later. And that's it.